My dear people in Christ and clients of St. Anthony, I join with Father Kieran and welcome you to these days of Triduum in honour of St. Anthony. In many of our churches and Franciscan churches all over the world, there's novenas, there are Triduums, when we come to seek the intercession of St. Anthony. Many of you come here Tuesday after Tuesday to this church, and you will be joined by many who will come in different places. And during the next 3 days, you will come here to pray, to seek the intercession of St. Anthony for a particular intention, known only to you and God. You may be praying for a sick relative. You may be waiting for the result of some visit to a consultant or a doctor. Or as we say, you may be praying for a child, son or daughter sitting the state exams. You may be praying for a very, very personal reason. Some may be grieving a lost husband or wife, a son or daughter. Or we can be often praying to overcome a particular problem or a difficulty in our lives, be it in our marriage, in our vocation, as we face the crisis in each daily life. And we can be struggling in our own faith, or struggling about our trust in God. Or we'll be praying for a son or a daughter who no longer attends sacrament or mass or the sacraments. But each day during these few days, we will be praying, and like the young man in the parable of the prodigal son, all of us in our own way will be striving to return to the Father, seeking pardon and forgiveness. Just remember during these days that God is with you. You may remember a scene in the gospel story, it's told by Mark, of how a poor blind beggar on the side of the road near Jericho, he heard that Jesus was passing by, and he called out to him. He said, "Son of David, have pity on me." And Christ reached out to him and simply asked him, "What do you want?" And he said, "Master, let me see again." And that maybe could be the theme of these few days. Lord, that I may see again, that you will show me what to do. When we participate in a novena or a retreat or a day of recollection, it's a time of grace given to us by God. And these days are no exception. Because God, in his own special way, will be moving in your life, and we need to open our hearts. You may not receive the answer to the request that you put before God, but you can be certain your prayer will not go unanswered. You will receive blessings and graces from God. And we just need to remember that the most committed Christian, the most sincere searcher for the will of God, we must reflect on our faith, on our belief, and above all, on the quality of our response to the voice of the Holy Spirit. Because in all of our lives, there is an ebb and there is a flow in our life of faith. There are moments of enthusiasm, and they can alternate with moments of weariness in our service of God and of our neighbour. Experience tells each one of us that there is always a danger of slipping into routine, of complacency, and of mediocrity. And when we look around at life all around us, we are very, very conscious of the external forces that conspire to blur out the vision of God and distract us from the ideals and the values that give meaning to our Christian way of life. And to ensure that these days are days of grace, It's a wonderful opportunity for each one of us to draw closer to God, but we should strive to listen to the Word of God. And we'll call on all of us to a readiness to submit ourselves to the light of that Word and a willingness to admit and at times acknowledge that there's a gap between the ideals and the attainment. We need to change our ways. The need to open our minds and our heart to what God is saying to us at this particular time. And we should be conscious of the words, "Speak, Lord, your servant is listening." And these days of grace should help us to question in a positive manner our own convictions. It should be a time filled with opportunity just to say, "What are my values today?" To shift standpoints, to change gears, or even to branch out in a new direction. It is a time of renewal. It can be a time of growth. A time, in the words of St. Francis, to begin again. Just to think again, maybe to have second thoughts about my present way of life, from which a new pattern of life and behaviour can flow. That can be your prayer life, maybe your morning prayer, your evening prayer. How are my relationships with other people, with my family, with my neighbour, with a person who I work alongside, or the manner in which I live in society? Am I a force for good or evil in the society that I'm living in? Our Christian way of life, no matter what age we are, whether we are young, middle age, or in the autumn of our lives, is never static. And the Christian journey never ends but always leads to new challenges. And for the Christian man or woman, in this particular time, times of prayer, times of silence, times for reflection are the most more important than ever before. Because you know as well as I do that we who live in this Western world, we live in a world that has experienced the erosion of religious values and that times has lost the whole sense of the sacred and the holy. Timetables, telephones, television screens and the internet, even the frustration of traffic congestion and the dictatorship of fashion when people tell you if you wear this or if you drink that or if you eat this, can absorb our attention and crowd out spiritual and religious values and thoughts from our mind. Christian commitment is finding it hard to survive the demands and the attractions of modern prosperity and modern technology. And in many of our contemporaries even claim that the very, very idea of God is a delusion. And it has become increasingly fashionable to sneer at religion or to declare one's indifference to it. Increasing numbers of people are content to determine their own destinies without reference to God or to his place in their lives. God has become a stranger in certain workplaces. God has become a stranger in places of recreation. And sadly, God has often become a stranger in our own homes. Certain sections of the media communicate the impression that right and wrong are largely subjective matters, and that religion has nothing to contribute to the advancement of human society. How can anyone say that what we read here in the Gospel this morning, where Christ spoke about who made up the kingdom of God, the pure of heart, those who seek after justice and right, how can anyone say in this day and age that Christ is irrelevant, that Christ has no meaning, and the world leaders would only listen to the words of Christ, we may have peace in the Holy Land and Ukraine. In our busy Western society, we put too much emphasis on work, achievements, money and success, invariably at the expense of relationships. After all of this, there comes a time when we face death and dying. It is our only future certainty. And as the day of our death, our going home to God our Father approaches, nothing is more important than our relationships. First and foremost, our relationship with God, but also our relationship with others, be it the husband, the wife, the family, neighbours, those who I work with, those who I live with. I would just ask you during these 3 days that they be special and that we look at the life of St. Anthony, who Pope John Paul II called a man of the gospel, and ask him to intercede for each one of us with God, that each one of us are given the grace and the help in our earthly journey in striving to become men and women of the gospel, to renew our commitment to Jesus Christ. We need to see again with the eyes of Jesus. We need to hear the word of God with the ears of Jesus. We need to have the values of Jesus Christ deep in our hearts and in our minds. You don't need me to come here and tell you or point out to you how things have deteriorated in our society. All you have to do is listen to the news at night time, our television screens of stabbings, of what goes on, of people who live in rural places who are attacked at night time. You can read it in the daily papers. You get an idea of what's happening all around us. Sadly, the culture that we live in can treat us simply as nameless units in a consumer society, but not so with Jesus Christ. From Christ's point of view, each one of us is unique. Each one of us is special. And he is the good shepherd, caring for each one of us. And he calls us by our personal name. So here tonight, at the beginning of this short triduum, as I said, we will strive to see with God's eyes, hear with God's ears, and speak with God's voice. The basic and the fundamental thing to remember during this novena is this. God is meeting you where you are now. Not 2 years ago, not 5 years ago, not tomorrow or the year's time, but God is meeting you here and now in your present situation. Where you are in your own personal life, maybe with your doubts, with your fears, with your worries, with your concerns. He's meeting you as you are striving to walk in the footsteps of Jesus. You may be finding it difficult, maybe from a financial point of view. Your faith may not be as strong as it used to be, and you're filled with doubts and worries. But what is taking place is between God and you. I would ask you to allow God into your heart. Allow yourselves to ask God, what should you do? Ask yourself for the grace to become men and women of prayer and people who listen to God. That you are the light to the world. That you are the salt of the earth. And that you are worthy and happy to be a messenger of Jesus Christ. And like the person of the gospel, here once more we're given the opportunity to seek out the pearl of great value. And tonight, in the midst of all our requests, we will ask God to give us the grace to enter fully into this short triduum and to a greater and a deeper commitment to his Son, Jesus Christ.